It's so good to see so many of you here this morning. I think every Sunday we see new faces coming back after our reopening a few weeks ago. And it's great to assemble together. And for those of you who are watching by live stream, we appreciate you being a part of our service this morning, too. I want to go straight into the Word, if that's all right. Pastor Steve will come in a little bit and give you a blessing. It's a benediction, and make some important announcements. But I just want to go straight into the Word. I hope you are like me in this regard, not in every way, but at least in this way. About 4 months ago, when the coronavirus pandemic began, we were all shocked. It was almost like a terrorist attack. It was like, what in the world? Where did this come from? How is this going to affect us? If you are, many of you did too, is put myself in a position to hear something new from God. And today I want to address an issue that I think is deserving of being spoken about. And it's about the spirit of fear that is gripping our nation and the world. We're going to put fear in its proper place today. Today I'm issuing a call for courage. A call for courage. And I believe that because of this word this morning, if we will hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to us as the people of God, I'm just believing that some of you, in fact, many of you, hopefully every one of you, will do something this week you haven't done in 4 months. You can go ahead and take a mental assessment right now quickly. What have you not done? What's normal to you that you used to do? It was natural and normal, but you've been forbidden and you haven't done it in 4 months. I'm not saying get reckless and careless and go crazy, but I am saying this is the time for God's people to answer the call for courage. There's nothing like it in the world. I'm addressing this morning the spirit of fear that has been unleashed like never before. Many people are afraid of things that they were never afraid of before. Simple things like leaving the house, going to the grocery store, even going to a doctor's appointment. And I understand, I have no judgment against anybody. I am more careful today. I take more precaution today than I ever have. I don't do it because of a weakness of my faith. I live by faith. If you live with me, you know I live by faith, loving every minute of it. Glass always more than half full. Some of the time it runneth right over. So I believe in wisdom and knowledge and taking care of yourself and being sensitive to others who perhaps are not where you are in your faith or in your health. This is the time to show compassion and sensitivity. They're fruit of the Holy Spirit. And fear is a real thing. It is an anxiety disorder. It can include panic attacks by something that is real or just perceived. Many people's lives today, many in America, live their lives consumed today with fear. This is not the way God wants us to live. Fear, if it goes unleashed and unchecked and not dealt with, can be crippling paralyzing. It shows up in our life like stress and worry, depression, burnout, and torment. I've had it try to grip me. I'm sure you have too, in the last few months. And it's easy even now if you watch too much news. I say this, one thing we ought to do this week is let's listen to this more than we listen to that. Somebody clap up in here right now. So glad I'm not alone in here today. Got an amen corner that's just drunk a venti cup of Starbucks coffee with two shots in it. But you can watch 60 seconds of the news, and it's saying stuff like, oh, if you go to Myrtle Beach, you're going to die, or something like that. So several states are saying, stay away from Myrtle Beach. Well, I haven't been to Myrtle Beach. I want to go, though, but I haven't been yet. But I think this. Those people from West Virginia, Ohio, brought the virus down and gave it to people at the beach. Probably, you know what I mean? I'm only making the point that who knows, really? Who knows? And you will hear some things, and then an hour later, you'll hear the opposite things, and different people saying, I see a lot of inconsistency. And Brother Jolly and I were talking a week or two ago and about how during these 4 months, the media has fueled fear. Now, I know, and I have no judgment, I thank God for the media. I thank God for living in a country to where there is freedom of speech and freedom of the press. Let's protect that. But let's also realize that a lot of what they're doing has catapulted and strengthened the spirit of fear. I realize that. I'm calling it out. And so be careful not to watch too much. We need to be informed, and we need to be able to make an educated decision on how we live our lives moving forward. But fear is a real thing. And when it takes over our day-to-day activities and causes such anxiety that prevents our normal behavior and daily activities, it's time to deal with the spirit of fear. And this is a call for courage. Many in the Bible had courage in the face of danger. And they are our models. I too, and I'm sure you do, I know men and women who have modeled courage when they were facing fear for their life. So I want to give you the definition of courage. Today is a call for courage. Courage is defined like this: the ability to do something that is frightening. Courage is the strength in the face of threat or danger. And I'm calling for courage from the body of Christ. I want you to do something this week you've not done in a long time. Because of fear, perhaps. And it will take courage to do it. Now, 4 months ago, when all of a sudden, out of nowhere, this giant killer virus attacked our nation and the world, and the governor issued an executive order. It was called Stay at Home. And he said, don't even leave your house to go to work unless you work for an essential company. And he had a list. And so all of us were like paralyzed. The government saying we got to stay home. There were a few exceptions. Now, I never did stay home every day. I never did. Pastor Steve never did. You know, if the gun stores and the liquor stores and the grocery stores and the gas stations are essential. We thought we were too. It made us feel good about ourselves at least. But now I did limit my coming and going, of course, and I was very careful. You know, I am born again and I live by faith. But when you come into the kingdom of God, there is no requirement that says, leave your brains at the door on the way in. In fact, you bring all of yourself in there. God takes us just like we are when we come into the kingdom. And then he spends the rest of our life on earth retraining us to think like he thinks about everything. So I remember 4 months ago when there was no church service for the first Sunday. Nobody coming to church. And we were taking a risk, the handful of us that came. And how strange it was. Now I look at you beautiful people, and we still have room for more without breaking the law. But that first Sunday, Pastor Steve and I, our media tech, Beth Bruton, our sound tech, John Seal, eventually Nick Campbell, our virtual greeter, he's inside the house this morning. And then Will Moody, our cameraman who takes care of getting this out to where so many of you are watching. But on that first Sunday, I never had a question. I mean, the thought never crossed my mind, ever. Well, you might not ought to go to church this morning. Now, I know I'm a pastor, and I probably thought that because I'm a pastor. I admit it. If I wasn't a pastor, would I have missed a service or two? Probably. Can I just be honest? I'd have slept dinner time. There have been a few Sundays in 34 years. I told Brenda, I just don't want to go today. And she said, you got to. You're the pastor. So 4 months ago on the first Sunday, I never had the thought, oh, you just don't even need to go. I said, no, I got to go, of course. But there was an immediate grace. Those are two important words. When a season changes quickly in your life and catches you off guard, always believe God for immediate grace that will meet you where you are and cover you and carry you through that new season. So we showed up at church and our praise and worship team was here. All the singers and all the musicians and the handful of us who have to be here. We felt like we just had to be here. It was very, nobody out there in the seat. Nobody. Strange. We realized that for the first time we were only reaching people by live stream. For the first, nobody out here. Nobody said an amen. I remember after that first service and the praise and worship team were all here. Nobody had to even ask them. Nobody certainly had to beg them. They were all here because of immediate grace. Listen, team, immediate grace. And they knew they were walking under it. I remember calling Oliver Bruton over to the side that Sunday morning. He's our praise and worship leader. And I said, Oliver, I'm so grateful all the team is here today. But listen, they're saying this and they're saying that and the governor's saying this and the health authorities are saying that. And so I just want you to know, Oliver, if during this time when we're supposed to isolate and quarantine and stay at home on any Sunday, if any member of the praise and worship team feels like that they should stay home, please let them know. We will respect that. And I want you to know not a single one of our praise and worship singers or musicians has stayed home out of fear. There was an immediate grace. We were happy to be here against all odds. Not only them, but our support staff, those in critical positions to help us do what we're doing right now. But fear needs to be dealt with. And I think after 4 months, it's time to call it out. In Luke chapter 21 and verse 16, Jesus is talking about how things will be on earth just before he returns. And he says this, men's hearts failing them from fear and the expectation of those things which are coming on the earth. We're living in a day right now. There have been a time or two my heart skipped a beat and I'm thinking, whoa, line back up, heartbeat. The Word of God says things will be so bad on the earth as we get closer to the return of Jesus that men's hearts will stop beating because of fear and because of what they expect to happen next on the earth. But good news found in 2 Timothy 1:7, and you all know this very well, for God has not given us a spirit of fear. Didn't come from God. Fear is a real thing, but it didn't come from God. So if it didn't come from God, it has no legitimate settling place in our life. Do we have to deal with it? Yes. Do we know how? Of course. First of all, we resist it. It's not from God. Anything from God, pour it on. Something that's not from God, no thanks. That's our position spiritually. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but he did give us something instead of fear, power and love and a sound mind. A sound mind. I want to talk about fear being two types of enemies. One is fear is a spirit. But fear is also a stronghold in the mind. And this one verse deals with both of those. Because it says God has not given us a spirit of fear, so it's dealing with fear as a spirit. And then he says instead of a spirit of fear, God has given us a sound mind. Now, that's dealing with strongholds in the mind. You deal with the spirit one way. You deal with a stronghold in the mind a different way. And God's Word tells us how to do both. This verse addresses both. Spirit and soul are the mind. And when the verse says God has given us a sound mind, I'm so glad in days like this and for these last 4 months and even now moving forward, we have a sound mind. Sometimes fear will cripple and paralyze your mind. The Greek says God has given us a disciplined and self-controlled mind. Many people have not been walking that out in the last few. Fear is so real. Fear is so pressing. There is so much to be afraid of, we think, that our mind has not been disciplined or self-controlled. But that's what God has given us, a sound mind, a disciplined and self-controlled mind. Now, the word quarantine was thrown out there 4 weeks. Isolate yourself. Quarantine is defined as a state of isolation, restricting the movement of people. We were told to stay home by ourselves. Quarantine. Now, there is nothing really in the Bible that speaks of quarantine, but there are a few things that come close, and only one is a good thing. Jesus was never quarantined by use of that word. But the Bible says he did frequently find a solitary place. There's a difference between a forced quarantine and seeking out a solitary place. In Mark chapter 1 and verse 35, it says, now in the morning, having risen a long while before daylight, he went out and departed into a solitary place, and there he prayed. Now, when this quarantine, stay-at-home order was issued 4 months ago, I stayed at home more than usual, of course. And I realized it could be a solitary place. I hope you took advantage, as I did, of the early days of this pandemic. I realized, while I've got to be still, this is an opportunity to be still and know that I am God. I hope nobody here missed the opportunity that was given to us during those early days of quarantine and stay-at-home orders. Hope you didn't miss that opportunity to maximize your time with God and hear Him say something fresh. He did start something new in me. I mean, He really had no choice. And it was wonderful. I hope you didn't miss that opportunity. Now, we had a lot of time on our hands for a while there. But surely, you didn't waste that time. Surely none of you wrote in your journal, today I cut my toenails and my fingernails, all 20 of them. I hope you didn't miss an opportunity to turn quarantine and isolation into a solitary place, where the Bible says Jesus found that, and there he prayed. You know, God can get more involved than the devil in everything. Let the devil send his worst and give God a chance. Invite him in. Ask for his fingerprints to be found on every detail. It's not long before what's meant to be a curse turns out to be such a blessing. God is good that way. Now, the only things in Scripture, in the Bible, that would be close to quarantine that I've found are three things. One is, other than the solitary place, that's a good one. Prison. We do see that in Scripture. And even in prison, the Apostle Paul wrote 2/3 of the New Testament by inspiration of God when he was all alone in prison. And then there was exile. That's in the Bible. And thank God that even if you're exiled, God can use you, speak through you. John the Revelator was exiled on an island for the rest of his life, having to live until he died there. And God showed him great visions, and he began to write what he saw. And now we have the book of Revelation, written while John was in exile all by himself. And then the only other thing that looks like quarantine in the Bible is a leper colony. When the lepers, who were stricken with a dreaded, incurable, and yet horribly contagious disease, were forced by law to stay outside of the city gates. You can't even come inside the walls of the city. You stay out, and if anybody gets close to you, the law requires that you scream out, "Don't come any closer, I'm unclean. I'm uncleaned. Stay 6 feet apart." Prison, exile, leper colony. That's a horrible way to be quarantined. During the stay-at-home orders, it changed our life. I'm just saying, we'll never go back to the old normal. Our best hope is in a new normal. Normal. Maybe there can be a normal. It will be a new one. It will not be like the old one. And then the governor said, work from home if you can. So many who could worked from home. And let me just say, and I'm not on a stump or a rant this morning, because I believe if you live in a democracy and those who are in authority issue orders, then unless it's a blatant violation of Scripture, then we should submit and respect the authorities above. God has put all authority in place. So let's trust God with that. But the truth is, we cannot stay inside our home for the rest of our life. We have a greater commandment. It's called the Great Commission. And we've got to get outside of our safety bubble at some point, outside of the four walls of our home. And Jesus said, we've got to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. I'm saying that's in the Bible. Isolation robs us of koinonia, the Greek word for fellowship and community. Oh, how I miss the ultimate expressions of fellowship that we took for granted as a church, like every month having a meal and feeding everybody, eating together, spending an hour just fellowshipping, loving each other, getting to know each other, sharing a meal together, breaking bread together. And we did it. I remember, oh my God, we're going to plan one of them again soon. And we're going to expect some people to be courageous and come out and eat with us. But you talk about keeping the salt inside the salt shaker, that's where the church is right now. Jesus said, go into all the world. You are the light of the world. You're the salt of the earth. But as long as we stay at home, inside a sterile bubble, and I'm getting to another point. It's about don't be stupid or reckless. I'm buying into that too. There's a way. But we are hindering the light of the gospel from getting out. We're just in our house. We're salt in a shaker, never meant to stay in a shaker. It's going to take courage to get out of our bubble. And I hope all of you do at least take a step this week doing something that will take courage. It will defeat fear. It can be a baby step, and each of you have the right to decide, well, what it is that I can do this week that can muster up enough courage to take a step forward and get out of the salt shaker. Now, our way of life has been suspended, but we cannot allow fear to keep us from living. Listen, living. And here's what God promised, and here's what we've done for 34 years, and we will continue to do it. Living the abundant life God promised us. I don't mind staying at the house with the wife. It's not been that bad. She usually treats me fine. And so, but hey, we've got a great commission. And so we can't get lazy and settle in and say, this is it for the rest of our life. Precautions? Yeah. Take precautions. I see something else that is concerning and it's unnecessary. And I see it on Facebook like you do, but some people are at different places when it comes to something simple like taking precaution. There are some people who will say, I will never wear a mask. Well, I mean, if that's where you are in your understanding and in your faith, we have no judgment. But you should at least be sensitive and compassionate to the many you will be around that are not as healthy as you are, or perhaps are not where you are even in your faith. Isn't it worth it, a little inconvenience, to be able to fellowship with somebody who might need you? Isn't that more important than an attitude of, if I got to wear a mask and you don't like it, then don't get around me. I mean, this is an opportunity for the fruit of the Spirit to be on display in the life of believers. So I say, take precautions. It's just that. And if you want to, you can put some of these on. And you know, you ladies, if you want to, you can stick some of these in your purse, sanitized wet wipes. I mean, you know, little things. But perhaps the greatest call to courage in the Bible is, of course, the story of little David facing Goliath the giant. I'm not going to go through all of that wonderful story, even though isn't it a great story? I mean, it would make a great Steven Spielberg movie. All the plots and the twist, I can just see it. I mean, such a rich story. But the bottom line is, here was a little boy who had more courage than any soldier in the army of the living God. That's exactly what it says in 1 Samuel 17. In the army of the living God. All of them were afraid of a threat, of a giant. Except this little boy who had more courage than every soldier in the army of the living God. You know the story. Little boy, big giant. Giant was evil. It was time for a showdown. He had embarrassed and put to shame and humiliated every soldier in the army of the living God for 40 days. And nobody in God's army had enough courage to meet the giant eye to eye and toe to toe in the valley for a man to man showdown. Up, little David appears, that little boy, and they are about to have a duel. In 1 Samuel 17 and 35, it says, then David said to the Philistine, the giant Goliath, you come to me with a sword and a spear and with a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. Now, he took a quick inventory right there of what would work for him and what would not. He had been offered a shield, a spear, a javelin, armor, tried it on, said, that ain't gonna work for me. There are some things that won't work for you. It may work for others, it's just not gonna work for you. It's okay, it's important for you to know what works for you. And the bottom line is faith takes a calculated risk. Faith is always a risk. There's a part of you, even in your mind, this may or may, I believe it's God, I think it's time, I believe God's in it, I'm ready to take the leap of faith, and oh, but there is a chance. I'll fall flat on my face. If God doesn't catch me, I'll fall. That's the excitement of faith. Faith takes a calculated risk. And David's calculation went like this. Sword and spear, not my thing. Not going to work for me. But this is important. David did not go out to fight that giant empty-handed or defenseless. He took something simple like a sling and a stone. Now, when you are looking at a giant like Goliath, a sling and a stone, not much help, you would think. But David's calculation was, this has worked for me before, and really, this is not the most important thing I'm trusting in. I'm telling that giant right now, you coming up here with a spear and a javelin and a sword and all your business, you can bring it what you want, but God does not save by the sword or the spear. I'm coming against you in the name of the Lord God Almighty, and He will deliver you into my hands this day. And with great faith, it was calculated, but it was faith. He said, here's what I'm going to do to you, Mr. Giant. In just a minute, I'm going to cut your head off and I'm going to feed it to the carcasses of the field and the birds of the air. And everybody in your evil army behind you, they're going to know for sure and forever there is a true God the God of Israel. But he didn't go empty-handed. I don't think you need to take a risk without all the precautions. Now, when you look at a giant like David did, and all you got is a sling and a stone, my faith calculator would have said something different than what. But when you look at a giant like coronavirus, it's a killer. You know, these don't look like much. But it's a precaution. David didn't go empty-handed. He took a pitiful little thing with him, and it wouldn't have worked for me. I'd have said, if I had gone from this, oh, I got to go up against that giant? You want me to kill that giant? Well, yeah, Carl, but now here's a little sling and here's a rock. That wouldn't have changed my mind a bit. My faith calculator would have been plugged into a different socket than David's was. But the point is, he took some measured precautions. He was not defenseless. He didn't go out empty-handed, even though it was simply a sling and a stone. David's calculation, and faith takes a calculated risk, went like this. He said, the same God that delivered me from the lion and from the bear, he's going to deliver me from this giant. 1 Samuel 17:48, it says, so it was when the giant arose and came and drew near to meet David, that David, listen to this, a call for courage right now today. David hurried and ran toward the army to meet the giant. Imagine it. He hurried and ran. Here's the way we treat fear when it's overwhelming, it seems. It's, oh, I dread it. I'm going to hide from it. I'm going to cower down and stay put. I'm never going to pick at that or poke at that. I'm going to leave that alone. I'm going to be in denial of it. In fact, if I just close my eyes and not think about it, it might go away. That's fear. A call to courage, and I'm issuing it today. I want all of you to do something in this coming week that you've not done in months. Something that used to be natural. Something that used to be normal. And perhaps you've been afraid to take that step. This is a call to courage. But instead of, oh, I'm afraid of that thing, I'm going to be in denial, I'm going to sit still and cower down, maybe it'll eventually go away and not bother me. That's not what David did. Here's what a call to courage does. There came a point in dealing with that fear that David looked at that giant and he hurried and ran toward it. This week, a call to courage. Figure out something that you've been waiting to do, and perhaps fear has kept you paralyzed and crippled, and you've been even afraid to think about it. I want you to muster up enough courage and faith. Take your precautions. I'm not saying throw your mind out the window. We have a disciplined and self-controlled mind, not a spirit of fear. But I want you to do something this week. Set a time, set a day, set an hour, and say, that's the moment I'm going to run and hurry to meet that fear, and I'm going to crush the fear at that moment. That's what David did. There comes a defining moment when courage causes you to hurry and run toward the thing that you feared. Now, I want to tell you this quickly and in closing. 2 Kings chapter 7 and verse 3 tells us about some other men who were in quarantined and were isolated and required to stay still. It was four lepers. It says, now there were four men with leprosy sitting at the entrance of the city gate. The law said they couldn't go inside the gate. They had to stay outside the city. All of them lepers. Why should we sit here waiting to die? They asked each other. Why should we sit here waiting to die? Now, we need to ask ourselves that question too. It's about time after 4 months. Let's say, why are we still sitting here? Please don't misunderstand. I'm not saying lose your mind. I'm not saying be careless. I'm not saying be disrespectful to others. None of that. But I am saying after 4 months, it's about time that if it's a spirit of fear and it has been unleashed, we, the people of God, say, you know enough already. I understand it's real. I know people who are sick from this virus. I totally get that. I'm praying for all of them, but God is calling us to live an abundant life, and it's time I stick my toe outside of the house. I enjoy sticking my toe outside the house. Here was these four lepers, their reasoning. Said, why do we sit here starving like this? Are we going to sit right here until we die? And they had heard the news. There was a famine in that city. And there was a war going on. But these four lepers reasoned like this. We will starve if we stay here. Now, if we get up from here and go into the city, there's a famine in there. We may starve there too. Or worse, an enemy could kill us. But they reasoned, if we sit here, we know we're going to die. If we get up and take a step and go in, there is a chance that we can live, that we'll be fed, we won't starve. We know if we sit here, we're going to die here. And so they reasoned together, and they got up and addressed their fear. I'm sure it took courage. Imagine being a leper and the law saying, you can't do this. The law saying. But they were so desperate, and they had reached a point to where they were ready to deal with their fear. They said, we're going to take a chance. We're going to take a chance. And so they got up and went in and into the city, and it worked out well for them. Well, no, he's healthy. It's just if this were not live, we would stop and start over. But it's live, so you're still with us. We should write a book one day, The Funny Things That Happen in Church. And I've already got chapter one. So I am closing. It is a call for courage. Now, we, the people of God, have all we need, the faith that grows inside of us. If you don't think you're ready yet, then feed on the Word a good bit, because faith comes as we hear the Word. Don't just read, hear. If you all you can do is read the Word, you'll find something over here that says one thing and something over here that says something different. That's why we have the Holy Spirit, and He speaks the voice of God to us. And don't just read it, but hear the voice of God. Build your faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Build your faith this week until you realize you've got enough faith to take a step of faith. It may be a baby step. And do something this week you've not done in months. I'll say it like this. Here's one option for you. Fellowship with somebody. Now, I know people are afraid to get close, or and we respect that. We have no judgment. I mean, one thing we've decided to do is we decide not to judge anybody for anything. I mean, we'll let the angels and God do that one of these days. You know, because if I issue a judgment against you about anything, the Bible says I'm going to be judged to be as guilty as I judge you to be of that very same thing. So everybody's on their own. You hear from God for yourself. What can you do? But let me tell you what happened here Friday night. There were four young women in our church. I won't call any names. Four young women that have been friends for years and years. And it began with a phone call. I found out about it after the fact. And they said, you know, we've not been able to get together. We've not been able to socialize and fellowship. Why don't we do something we've not done in a few months? And they all met here at the church and sat in our fellowship park with the picnic tables out under the shade tree. They did that Friday evening for an hour and a half or so without legislation, without an announcement, without leadership, without, they just said, let's fellowship. So they stayed 6 feet apart and had some fellowship. And it was good. How creative is that? I think it's time to do something that we've not done in service. Don't live your life in excommunication forever. You've not been excommunicated. You're still a part of the body. I'll call it this. Some of you this week need to enjoy 6 feet of fellowship. You know, you can still fellowship. You don't have to be all over each other. You can still fellowship and maintain a safe distance. I mean, but hey, don't let fear keep you in the house forever. It's abundant life God has promised us. Now, I wear a mask sometimes. I've run into some of you in a store. I didn't have a mask on, and neither did you. I forgot. I did tell you that one time. I said, usually what I do, though, is and here again, hey, this is not so much about me being living by faith. It's just when I go in the post office or the store of any kind, I take my mask unless I forget it and leave it in the car, which I have done a time or two. And but I'll do it not so much because I'm afraid I might catch something, but because I want to be sensitive to people I know. I'm not going to call names, but we have 24 people in our church that are not here today legitimately because they're having radiation, they're having chemo, they are at a high risk level, and we know the details about it. I'm not talking to you folks. You folks are doing fine. You keep up what you're doing. Don't be dumb and stupid. But even you can take a go to the mailbox to get the mail or something. I mean, do something you haven't done this week. But some people say, well, I'm not going to wear a mask because I am a man or a woman of faith and I'm not going to catch the virus. Well, I wear a mask out in public for the same reason I wear a seatbelt when I drive. I ain't afraid I'm going to get killed in a car wreck. Just makes sense to wear a seatbelt, and the law agrees with that one. Okay, so everybody stand up if you will.